Rockies 102.9, The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew exhilarates and quenches with its one-of-a-kind great taste. Mountain Dew, this is how we do.
All right, as you heard, lending a hand today from WISN Big 12 Sports, Steph Sutton. Good morning, Steph.
Good morning.
You were working super overtime.
Yes.
Getting stuck up in Green Bay.
My weekend didn't end. That's why I got my weekends mixed up, blurred.
Okay, so right, because you were in Green. When did you go up before
the game? All
right,
so let's see.
Let's have the timeline.
Let's see. Anchored Saturday Night Sports, and then
okay.
The only thing that I don't like about noon kickoffs on Sunday because of college football, we often don't go on. I mean, we didn't get off the air until 11:30 Saturday night, kind of a quick turnaround. Got to leave 7:30.
You get home after the news. And you stay up till?
Oh, what? My gosh. My normal bedtime is 1 a.m.
And so that's why you're always
looking like hell.
Like pouring orange juice on the sandwiches for the kid in the morning. And
yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I give my 5-year-old coffee? Yeah.
All right. So that is a short time to, you know, go to sleep, wake up, and try to get other people ready.
Correct.
Besides.
You are correct, Brian.
And
I
so
mean,
when
my
they
husband
go out to
helps
school,
up,
do you
yeah.
conk out again or?
Let's just say I didn't quite stay awake the whole time. We left from Milwaukee to Green Bay on Sunday morning. In fact, I missed most of the snowstorm north of Sheboygan, apparently.
Right.
Stopping. I don't know. It was very soothing, the drive. And I kind of blacked out. And the next thing you know, I was at Lambeau Field. But
that's
yeah.
a good way to do it.
All right.
It's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
No. So we get to Lambeau Field.
I'm surprised your photojournalist doesn't get pictures of you. Drool yes. in the corner of your mouth or something.
I wonder if he does. Well, don't give him ideas. But
all right,
so we get to
Saturday
Lambeau
night
Field.
News, short nap.
Short nap. Get to Green Sunday. Bay, and then we see what is possibly one of the crappiest games I've ever seen in person.
It wasn't
interesting. Was not interesting. Again, the final few minutes were interesting when they attempted the comeback, and
the fans weren't. Into it, you could
not
hear
until
much,
the
much
final of. 2 minutes. There yeah. were more boos on Sunday from Packer fans than cheers, without a doubt.
Who was being booed in your, you know?
I think everyone. I don't think it was necessarily McCarthy. I think Aaron Rodgers in the offense boo.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, they couldn't convert on third down to save their life. It looked awful. The Cardinals.
I know their offense
the two,
is
well, they
horribly
were two
ranked.
And nine.
I don't know what their
now
defensive stats.
Yeah,
are.
Now they're 3-9, but it was the lowly card, like the worst offensive team in the league, the worst team overall in the league, and they lose.
Okay, so Mark Murphy says after that lackluster performance, McCarthy had to go. But you know, really, after one game playing really poorly, a coach gets fired. I would like him to flesh that out a little more. When did you start thinking?
Well, nobody thought really that it was going to happen Sunday night. I'm sure you guys were taken a little off guard. That 6 p.m. We had just wrapped up our live shots for Channel 12. I was in the media auditorium. I was actually looking at some sound for my 10 p.m. piece. My photographer ran through the door and he said, Mike McCarthy just got fired. This is not a joke.
How did he find out?
It just went over social media. Like, people there, because there was not many
so
people left.
So you're still there.
We're still there, but I was...
found out on social media.
Right. Well, and then as you... Because Adam Schefter always breaks that stuff. All the national guys always break that stuff.
Okay.
And then, as soon as you looked on, of course, on my email, the Packers almost, probably within the same moment, sent out the email saying that Mike McCarthy was let go. A big
okay.
line from Mark
so
Murphy. That they
couldn't
had
tell
parted
a
ways.
Local reporter, you know, standing right by the door wherever it happened. Hey, well, Mike's gone.
No. You mean like the PR department there?
I don't know.
No.
I don't know how it works. They always filter that out through the national people first.
Yeah, it kind of seems that way. Which is interesting because you have beat writers. I mean, I go there once a week, you know, the usual
right.
Wednesdays I go.
You're doing the work. You know.
Right. Oh, we don't. Yeah. That's the interesting thing. It's not the local folks breaking the big, big stories. It's always, I don't know how, I'm sure it's the same thing with Bucks or NBA. And, you know,
it's always been that way, though, right? I mean, Lombardi, he always gave the New York reporters all the stories
well,
and went,
yeah,
you know,
but things are
treated the local.
Kind of different now. Networks are bigger now. There's more TV now.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering, like, who tells Adam Schefter? Is it Mike McCarthy? Oh, I just got fired. Like, I doubt that. I mean, he obviously has connections inside the building, but so do the other. There's a lot of really talented local beat writers. And yes, they do break stories on occasion, but when it's this major, it's always a national person
ESPN has that huge television contract with them. They say, hey, along with this, we want first news on
like a 5-minute jump.
Right. You know, we want the scoop. Care who you tell, but we want to know first.
That's a good point,
here's my number,
Rock.
And make sure you call this one first.
Yeah.
Yeah, why don't you start interviewing those other reporters, Stephanie, instead of the players? Yeah. Stick a microphone in front of
hey, what do you know?
ESPN guy.
Because I don't know anything.
Yeah.
I just follow him on Twitter.
That's what you saw. I saw the tweet, and then I saw the email. But they both came out a little after 6 o'clock on Sunday. So then at that moment, because we're trying to wrap our day up. We were going back to Milwaukee.
Right, but now you have a whole new story.
And now we're like, oh, boy.
Chased down.
Now we're staying here.
Okay, so what time was that when you got the word? That?
Literally like 6:02.
Okay.
Soon after our 5:30 live shot. So then we're staying. So then I get the call from the newsroom, hunt down some players. I'm like, oh, boy. Because here's the deal. It's similar to the Brewers and Bucks. I don't hang out with the players afterwards. I just don't. Never have. I don't know where they hang out. I mean, if I happen to see them at a TGIF, that's a fluke, you know, after a game.
Uh-huh.
But they're done, you know.
I don't go to Carnivore with the Brewers. I know it's a wonderful restaurant, but I usually don't go there after games, like Ryan Braun.
Sure.
So, yes, I guess I would know where Ryan Braun might be, but that's about it. So I asked people that I knew where they might hang out. So we did go to one or two spots that the Packers may.
And then so what? Do you hang out in the parking lot?
But no. We walked in the restaurant just to see if they were there. No one was there. But we were like, they lost. It was a crappy game. They're not going out and celebrating. It's cold. Right. They're back at their homes, you know?
Can you go to their home?
If you went and knocked on a player's door, and I know there's all kinds of different personalities with different players, but who would be the best prospect for a quote, and who would you just never try for that one?
Well, Aaron Rodgers would be the best quote, but the one I would never try.
Okay, so who would?
I don't want to burn that bridge.
Right, no. Yeah, right.
He's sneaking around his backyard.
Is that Steph's son in the bushes?
Because of the flashlight.
Who's there? Who's out by the swing set?
Who's that?
You would go with one of the younger players. Like, and we ended up getting, thanks to our friends at WBAY, that they're our ABC affiliate there. She reached out on Instagram, and second-year safety Josh Jones contacted her, and he came in studio. So the only guys that really will talk to you are the younger, the rookies, the second-year players.
Because they don't know yet.
There's no way I'm getting Clay Matthews or Davante Adams. There's just no way. I mean,
maybe
that's not
right, but Bakhtiari, maybe.
But you know, you know that because you've been there. You know,
I've covered the team for 15 years. I know how it works. Yeah. And I'm trying to think of anyone's house I've been to in 15 years. Maybe an offensive lineman once for a Christmas special years ago. I can't even remember the guy's name. I mean, literally, there's no way. It's been years. So, yeah.
So you, because of
and by the way, I take a little pride in that I'm not the floozy at the player's house or the player's restaurant after the game. You know, I'm working. Yes. I'm going back home to my husband and kids.
Right.
But you didn't get to do that Sunday night.
Oh, but I didn't. You're right. So
you've been told to get a player. You wind up.
We did get a player
because of a connection.
Okay. Through our ABC affiliate connection, we got a player, which was great. So that was seriously relief. But
and
then
they wanted to be that live for 10 o'clock.
We had to be live at 10. So we've already left at 7:30 in the morning. We were live at 10, and then I also knew the next morning we have a new 11 a.m. show on Channel 12. If you haven't watched, tune in.
Go ahead.
So I knew I'd be leaving at 7 a.m. to come right back up.
So just hell with it. I'm staying here.
So I'm staying here.
But you wound up going over to family.
My aunt, my mom's sister, and her husband live less than a block and a half from Lambeau Field. Technically, it's at Schwabenheim.
Do they farm that place out? Do they, rent to people?
No, but they really could. They've got quite
a
nice
and a half. Yeah,
they got a nice. They have such a nice setup in their backyard with the fire pit, and they actually, I think they have a hot tub that you can see the jumbotron through the trees.
And
it's incredible.
They don't Airbnb it or something during the season. They don't.
They really
let
should.
You park in their driveway, and
they're usually there during the season, and then they're like snowbirds in January. Then they leave for Florida or whatever.
Yeah, just thousands of dollars there.
They could rent. They keep their house very nice, very neat. But the cool thing is we do have a lot of friends that actually park at their place. You know, okay. They pay the $10 to park or whatever, and then they can use the restroom. They can grill in the backyard, like I said. I mean, it's really a nice setup. So
they use in the restroom. I don't know if I'd sell that.
Well, they could probably, you know, vet people a little, give them a pass.
You can't. No.
What are your dining habits?
Number one or number two? What are you thinking?
So they let you stay?
Yeah.
And
they could not have been more. I came in about 11.
Did you just sleep in your clothes? Did they wash?
No, didn't wash my clothes, but my aunt let me. I mean, I showered and stuff, but she let me borrowed clothes yesterday from her to wear to work. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, because that's when Dan Needles, when he realized I was staying over, he's like, "Do you have a change of clothes?" I'm like, "No." I'm gonna go to Shopko. I don't know what I'm gonna do.
Is your aunt about the same size, or?
Unfortunately, she's smaller than me, so she just happened to have a bigger blue sweater, and I'm like, "Yes."
Nice.
I was like, "Yeah." Yeah, right. My aunt's tiny, so
okay, so that's just getting up on Monday then.
Then I get up on Monday. Then we do our live shot at 11, same previewing that Mark Murphy. And actually at the time, we did not know Brian Gutekunst was going to speak as well. And then we knew Joe Philbin, the interim head coach, was going to talk. And then players would be made available. So did you see that whole hodgepodge? Were you guys watching in yesterday when the whole – I mean,
I popped around trying to get everybody's –
That was covers. Bigger than a playoff – I mean – scenario, the amount of media that was in that auditorium yesterday. It was crazy. In fact, I put it on Facebook, the picture of all the media that was there. And then again, like I said, Mark Murphy spoke and Brian Gutekunst spoke. And then they were like a united front. You know, this was our decision and what a crappy game. And basically that was, you know, the straw that broke the camel's back. And that's why Mike McCarthy was fired on Sunday. And then the hypothetical was given, well, what if Mason made the field goal, and what if you went to overtime and won?
Right.
Would you still have fired him? And then, again, they were like, that's a hypothetical.
Yeah.
I say no. I don't think they would have fired. I think they would have maybe fired, you know. So I think he would have had lived one more week as the Packers head coach.
Murphy did say.
Waiting for a loss then.
Well,
that was a pretty crappy loss.
And he did say it was the performance was way under Packers, you know. The way we want
at home
expectations.
McCarthy was a dead man walking. Yeah, like it was
going
to happen.
Okay, so that brings up the question, especially if they said that's the straw that broke the camel's back.
Right.
When did they start putting straws on the back of the camel? Because it wasn't last year. Because the excuse is, well, Rodgers was hurt. So this year they come in. Rodgers is back. His knee is bunged up.
Now, see, Brian, why weren't you there yesterday asking that particular question?
Well,
there were a lot of questions.
I do this.
There were a lot of questions that were asked. And I can't remember if they gave, we thought 2 years ago we were going to fire him. I mean, they didn't quite say that, but that's.
I would have settled for at what point this season did you start thinking we're going to have to make a change?
It was brought up like, why didn't you guys just make the move after last season? You know?
Well, but the excuse is Rodgers was hurt.
Yeah.
I think that exactly sort of didn't say it quite like that, but you know what I mean? Because why didn't you just make it? I mean, why didn't you just rip the Band-Aid off last January and wait until now to do it? But again, that's what they did. So I don't know what's going on, but the bigger thing was the structure with the Packers now is Brian Gutekunst, even though he's the GM, Mark Murphy's the president. Mark Murphy's the one that gets the final say.
And I'm the coach.
On the coach, but that's not that hasn't been the trend or how it's been in the past. Apparently,
no, it's a new structure.
It's a new structure. And so that's what they were. In fact, at one point, and I'm going to give props to Jason Wilde, he was questioning Mark Murphy. And it was a really great question. Like, this is not how it's been done. I mean, Ron Wolf and everyone, when they were here, this is a new structure. And he pointed to Brian Gutekunst. He goes, he's capable. We know he's a smart guy. Why doesn't he get the final say in this coach? Why is it you getting the final say? And who's going to be? You're the president. You're not the GM. And I swear Mark Murphy's face turned bright
red.
Yeah,
he seemed defensive on all this
stuff. He was defensive. I was like, oh, this is awkward.
When he ran down his resume.
By the way, really good TV in person. I don't know if it was good. I was going to say good on TV. It was exciting in person to see. Like, this is interesting.
Gutekunst is How long has he been around in the football world?
He's been around. He said he's been around football like his whole life.
Yes.
But I think professionally, when he's been with the Packers for
20? I mean, he was
quite a while. Yeah.
Yeah, he worked his way up.
He started like in the video department. I think
he was an intern at one point. I mean, yeah,
that could be a problem at some point. You know, well, this guy's just came up through video.
Yeah,
you know, if he's been around, you know, the whole time.
The Bucks GM came up through video.
I'm aware.
Yeah, and he's a young guy.
What did you say to save face? They'll go, yeah, Gutekunst is making the final decision, but I'm really making the final decision. Like, do they even have to tell us that? He's the one making the final decision. Aren't there all these shareholders and stockholders for Packers? Like, who made him king? What the heck?
Well, I think that was, I mean, when they hired Gutekunst, I remember them talking about this structure when they hired him.
That it'd be different.
Yeah. That Murphy is the you know, it wasn't like it was with Ron Wolf. He doesn't have full power, you know.
Well, he didn't
have the juice to get that.
Answer to somebody, so apparently Mark Murphy is the guy everyone has to answer to through chain of command. So,
and he's a football guy as opposed to a business guy.
So what other decisions are made by Mark Murphy then? Is it just this one? And then is it Murphy, Gutekunst, new coach?
Are you saying beyond the new coach?
Well, like, I mean, you know, chain of command. Murphy top.
Murphy is top. He made that quite evident
yesterday.
But
not about players.
No, I'm sure Murphy's the one that's like, all right, we're getting rid of Ha-Ha, or you know what I mean? Okay. Like, I'm sure he has that final say.
Really?
Again, I'm not in those meetings. All the national ones that get the scoop are.
Ask somebody.
Hey, Adam Schefter,
yeah.
What do you know? Because you know everything. About every NFL team. That's actually kind of insane. The wealth of knowledge that he has and his connections, that's pretty insane. It was interesting to see that dynamic yesterday. It's interesting to see, as Rock pointed out, how defensive kind of Murphy got a little bit.
I thought it sounded defensive when he listed off his resume, you know.
He even goes, I don't mean to brag, and then he kind of rattles
off. What point does he just, you know, get rid of Brian Gutekunst?
Oh, he's not.
What's the point of having him if he's going to make all the final decisions?
I think that's a good question. Like, if you're not going to give him the, right, you're the GM. Shouldn't you get that power?
Well,
at our station, our GM gets the power, right? At least I think. I mean, I'm sure she has to abide by Hearst Corporation at some point, but at least within our station.
Yeah, that's the sort of thing that could screw things up. When the Cowboys returned to being a good team, they got a real short chain of command. It was Jerry Jones and Jimmy Johnson, and that was it. That was those were the decision makers right there.
When they were good.
Right. When the Packers got all screwed up, they had board of directors people and coaches and blah, blah.
Oh, so you're buying into the system then?
I'm saying this is where things go bad, is when you get a chain of command that's all long and strung out. And a lot of people.
Right.
When the Packers got, you know, good again, and Bob Harlan hired Ron Wolf, Harlan stepped back, let Wolf run things, and, you know, it was 1-2 chain of command. Holmgren, Wolf, bam, bam.
Right.
So when it starts getting
strung out like this. And they went to 2
Super Bowls.
And they won one. Should have won two.
I'd take 1 out of 2.
Right.
We went every
sure.
year.
So, all right, so the other big hot topic besides the chain of command and structure was Aaron Rodgers. Like, he's your franchise quarterback. He's your star quarterback. Will he have any input, any say in the decision of who's going to be the next head coach for the Packers? And they made it very clear that he is basically just the quarterback of the team, just the leader on the field.
Okay, so
of course, the door's open. If he wants to come in and say something, yada, yada. But Aaron Rodgers will not have the final decision on who's going to be the Packers.
Okay, so why does that question get asked unless some reporter thinks Aaron Rodgers is going to be making that call in some way? And why would they believe that?
I don't know if anyone necessarily believes it, but it was also pointed out, like, for the Bucks and Budenholzer, I'm pretty sure Giannis met with Budenholzer.
He did. And Middleton, they both did.
Right. And that's a different NBA kind of thing, I guess, or structure how it is in the NBA, where the NFL, as you just said, Brian, it's different.
Yeah.
And I think it just had to be thrown out there, the question, because it is Aaron Rodgers. I don't think you're going to say that about any other player. Well, maybe Tom Brady or Drew Brees, you know, or Peyton Manning when he was playing. Like, that's something maybe you would bring up, like, well, do they not get a say, but would they get to at least meet the coach? Because that's your guy.
Well, and it was obvious that their relationship, McCarthy and Rodgers, had diminished to basically a
fractured, unraveled.
Yeah, they couldn't work. And this just in, I'm just reading this just now, Jeff Saturday on ESPN talking about his last year in Green Bay, which was 2012.
Right.
So that's a long time ago. He said, Aaron Rodgers, when you'd be in the huddle and Mike McCarthy would make the play call, you could see Aaron's frustration, whether it be an eye roll. Said a lot of players question the play calls. So back in 2012, plays would come in and his helmet, and he would roll his eyes.
I'm thinking that happens a lot, though, with quarterbacks on every team.
I've read that
team.
About Joe Montana and
Walsh. Yep.
He'd say, the old man is crazy, so here's what
Bill
we're
going to right. A lot of eye rolling Bill going Walsh. On, I'm sure.
Well, and
hey,
then,
Joe, run Rocky Mountain Way, zip 9-5.
That's what I'm hearing with Aaron Rodgers, though. Like, even this past game, I'm hearing that, okay, oh, that's the call you want, McCarthy? That's the call we're going to do. As opposed to, like, taking over and changing the call or whatever, because there's rumors or there's conspiracy theories that Aaron purposely...
That's passive-aggressive,
right,
isn't it?
Sort of maybe not tanked it, but wasn't playing as well because he did indeed want McCarthy to eventually get fired.
That's the hot meme, right? Him talking to the kicker at the end, hey, miss this and we're free.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that one. You're going to be the guy doing the dropping or the missing.
And Mason did.
You might also
friend.
Be gone, too.
Sure.
Now, do I honestly believe Mason Crosby purposely missed that kick? No.
No, me neither.
I just don't. So, after the whole hodgepodge with Murphy and Gutekunst, then, the sweet Joe Philbin, he comes in. I mean, that guy is just so likable. Him and his wife are celebrating their 30th wedding anniversary yesterday. And he goes, but he says, I doubt she's going to get a nice dinner tonight. Like, it's a little, he's a little busy.
Yeah.
Because now he's the head
rest
coach.
Of the a season. Quick takeover, right.
Right. So now he's taken over. And technically, they say on the list of guys, I have a list of guys.
Oh, he's not going to install a new offense.
No, but it is sort of an audition. In the words of Barbara Walters, audition.
That's a tough audition.
He did say he was going to look at, you know, like the blitz packages and stuff. And he may change some things a little bit. It won't be a whole new offense, that's for sure. But
also, they start kicking butt and scoring 50 points a game. You're like, wait a minute.
This is what we should have been doing all along. Right?
So the record the next four games doesn't really matter.
I know.
I mean, if they go 0-4 or 4-0, they're going to look at his packages. They're not going to say, oh, 0-4, he's terrible. Well, it's a lame duck season now. The other players can even try as hard. Probably not.
He had a shot in Miami for several years.
I think he got fired 3 or 4 seasons in. I can't remember. But, okay, so then Philbin speaks. He's likable, and then it's locker room time, and then we go to the players' locker room. And
what
honestly,
time is that about?
That's about 2:30 yesterday, and so as soon as we go in, all of a sudden there's a huge presence by Aaron Rodgers' locker, and we're like, huh? That guy never talks on Mondays. He doesn't. He usually talks on Wednesdays. I didn't think he was going to talk. So, of course, we stick our little ladder there because you got to mark your territory. And then all of a sudden, a half hour later, we are sitting there like, what is going on? Devontae finally comes out. David Bakhtiari comes out. Some of the other players comes out. Kevin King comes out. So then you can get some other interviews, and we're still hearing these rumors that Aaron may talk. 45 minutes later, Aaron Rodgers comes around the corner. There he is. Because my photographer, Jason Hunt, and I were talking. We're like, there's no way he's going to talk. And there he was.
There he came. Yep. And what did he say?
Packers Jesus came around the corner.
And how long did he?
The reporter C parted.
That his mustache was shaved.
Yes.
That's right. Well,
it was shaved for the game.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So, of course, we ask him, how did you find out? When did you find out? Listen to what he said. He said, I was celebrating my birthday with my folks and friends when I found out the news, probably like the rest of you. Okay. Yada, yada, yada. He keeps talking. And I'm thinking, did he just say he celebrated with his folks? Because there's all these rumors and all these conspiracy theories or whatever, that he doesn't talk to his family.
That he left them in a burning house in the California fires. Yeah.
So
unfortunately, that wasn't the time to follow up with. Wait, what?
Was your brother there?
Right.
The brother probably wasn't there.
No.
Yeah, he did not mention Jordan. But I thought that was interesting. Anyway, so he continues on, and then we ask him questions, and yes, he was surprised. He seemed kind of sad for McCarthy. Someone asked him about, you know, did his unraveling or his fractured relationship with McCarthy have anything to do with McCarthy being fired? And he's like, well, I hope not. That's what he said. But I'm like, oh, boy, I think that
might
have.
But he didn't say, yeah, I didn't have a fractured relationship.
Right. No, he talked about good things with him and McCarthy and all the good times they had and how they used to go to each other's houses and things were cheery and everything was fine. Yeah. And he actually seemed kind of sad. He's like, it's sort of like we're sort of not grieving. I mean, no one died, but
I think McCarthy had a lot to do with how good Aaron Rodgers is. He developed him as into the quarterback he became. I mean,
right.
Obviously he's got the arm and the speed
and the brain
and the drive and all that to go along. But without McCarthy, who knows? I mean, if he would have been in a different system with a different coach, if he would have been on the Browns, I don't think he would have been what he is now, you know.
No, I agree. And I think maybe looking back, Aaron respects that.
I'm sure he does.
I don't care what the relationship was like in the end. Right. He kind of got him to where he was or got him to the Super Bowl, got him a Super Bowl victory. I mean, he was the coach. So Aaron keeps talking, and then one of the questions, what did I ask? I actually got three questions in yesterday. I couldn't believe it.
Is that a lot?
That's a lot.
Really? Two?
I'm like,
normal or
you know what
one
I got,
normal?
When I got two and I was like, what the hell? I'm going to ask this third one. I'm like,
I'm you're on a roll.
Yeah, keep going until they
I
say
said,
no.
Adam Schefter, move over, buddy. I got one more. No, he was, Adam
in
was
your
not
sweater.
In the Packers locker room.
No intern trying to grab the mic from you.
I shoved over three reporters and then I asked another question. No, what did I ask? I asked about, you know, again, when he found out. I said, well, would you like some input, you know, and who's going to be the new head coach? What are your thoughts on that? And then he basically kind of said what Murphy and Gutekunst said.
My job is to be quarterback of this football operation.
He says the door's always open. You know, I can always come in and, you know, say whatever. But he basically panned it off on them as well. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, my third question, I said, well, you just celebrated your 35th birthday. Would you care if the next quarterback for the Packers is your age or younger?
Right, and then he referenced someone
coach.
Whitmore.
Coach.
He's friends with one of the offensive linemen, I think, for the Rams. Yeah, L.A. Rams. And so he was referring to Sean McVay as the head coach. Like, well, it's working well for them. And he says that's kind of the trend right now, hiring these younger coaches. And honestly, I like it.
Yeah, but, you know, if you're a guy who's been in the league for 13 years, there's going to be
the Rams have a rookie quarterback too, right?
Yeah.
So young coach,
and Sean McVay,
quarterback.
You know, maybe some kind of savant. I mean, he's crazy. Have you ever heard him recite plays that he called like 3 years ago?
Yes.
You were saying that he can know what happened three years ago.
Mm-hmm. Just because a guy's young doesn't mean he's going to be the next Sean McVay. Sure. Even though I am on board with, I would like to see some younger, more energetic.
I don't want an old fuddy-duddy person out there. I'm sorry. I
think the NFL has changed.
What can you say about
fuddy-duddy? Fuddy-duddy.
I think the NFL has changed. There's a new age, and there's some new coaches, and most of them are young, but Andy Reid has figured it out.
I want to see a young,
so what time did
handsome,
you, what time
charismatic
did you finally,
guy that can get those Packers motivated.
I don't want
motivated.
A retread.
No.
No
what
retreads.
What time did you finally get home?
9 o'clock I got to the station last night. Because then we had live shots at 5 and 6. And then, we had a half-hour special last night on the firing of head coach Mike McCarthy.
And so when were you done yesterday?
I walked in my door at home at 10 p.m. last night. So I left 7:30 a.m. Sunday morning, and then I did not get home until 10 p.m.
And here you are this morning.
And I barely saw my kids this morning.
Well, they're wondering why orange juice is on their pancakes again.
Thanks for coming in. Thanks for doing the extra duty. Go reacquaint yourself with your children. I hope they still recognize
you. I'm sorry.
You.
And you are, like, I'm a little blurry right now. Lack of sleep.
Thanks, Steph.
We appreciate it, Stephanie. Thank you. Get out of here. It's